I think we're good to go.
Okay, hello.
We're the lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll call you if I can't get in.
Okay.
Thank you.
The host has arrived.
Hi, this is Jerry.
Hi, this is Erin Harden with the Department of Education. Is that Timmy and or Norm on the line?
Timmy's here. Hi, Erin.
Hey.
Thanks for all the notes you've been sending.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
I'm here with Sarah Emmel from the department.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for your help.
Yeah, no problem.
And
Courtney's here as well to help with backup because Sarah will be gone next meeting. And we'll go ahead and put ourselves on mute until we're ready to get started.
Okay. And I'm on a phone that does not have mute, so unfortunately, I will just try and keep it quiet in the background.
Okay, sounds good.
And Timmy, this is Dina Mitchell. I'm in the same situation.
Hi, Dina. Good to hear you.
You too.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for the email where everything's in it again. I always lose these phone numbers.
Well, that's Erin. That's not me.
So. No. It's
okay, cool. Timmy, this is Kathy. I'm on as well.
Oh, hi, Kathy. Thank you.
This is Tiffany. I'm here, too.
Hi, Tiff.
Hello.
And this is John Harmon. I'm joining, but I don't know how long I'll be able to stay on. I'm having some phone issues here.
Oh, hi, John. How is the trip?
It's going well, but it's pretty late here. I'm over in Europe, as you know.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you trying for the length of time that you can.
Yep, and if you ask a question and I don't answer again, I've tried to call in twice and I keep getting bumped off. I think it's the cell reception here.
Oh, I got it, yeah. Unless you're standing outside with your foot in the air, you know, over a balcony. I know, I've been there.
It actually, I'm doing that.
Yeah. Anyone else yet? And John, I know that your colleague Kenny can't be here, and we no longer have Colonel Toole, so it is good to have your voice from the board here as long as you can.
Nope, happy to be here. We'll stand as long as I can manage.
Great. Am I hearing others?
Timmy, this is Jerry. I'm online.
Oh, hi, Jerry.
Hi there.
Jerry, there's a slight possibility that when we break into our small groups between 2 and 3 that I may need you in one of the rooms.
Okay, I'll do what I can to help.
Thanks.
Okay. They don't have a call message here.
You know, we brought her up here at the Alaska 6th Avenue Outfitters for $20. We have a very own pair. Thank you.
Bye.
Do we have anyone else on the line yet? I have Dina and Kathy, Tiffany and John.
Can you hear me? This is Kathy Colmack.
Oh, hi, Kathy. Thanks for being here. Appreciate that. And in that flyer, everyone, there is what Erin put together with many of our faces on it. So if it's easier for you to have a face with a name, you can scroll through that and see who is here with us. I think we'll give folks just a few more minutes. I know that Superintendent Carrie Boyd said she was rushing back to the office from a doctor appointment. She would be there as fast as she could. And Jerry, if we don't get too many more, we might not have to break up into smaller groups.
I agree.
Thank you. I did call and leave a message for everyone, or try to reach out to everyone as I could, and I know we heard from a few people after my calls that they weren't going to be able to, but no one else has responded either way, so my hope is that they would be here. So I know Commissioner Davidson is planning on it. I don't know about any of our representatives. I know that Senator Bagage could not attend. I even went so far as to find Facebooks of some people and send them notes.
So that's good. Well, this is just, as you know, summer in Alaska, it's a tough time of the year to get everybody together.
It sure is. I just know that our committee is a little further behind than some of the other committees who have had subcommittee meetings, and this is such an important topic. I just really want to make sure we're at least making a little bit of stride in it.
Well, I think we're moving in the right direction, and we'll pick up steam as we go. So
that's true.
I'm very optimistic.
That is very true. And I think we're a group that does better face-to-face, too. And we don't have that privilege, but we're going to try and make it work however best we can.
Yeah.
So did you guys all hear that Juno finally got summer yesterday? After the wettest, rainiest, awful summer, we finally had a nice day yesterday, and today's not half bad either.
So that's great. And so what's summer in Juneau? 70 degrees in sun or 80 degrees in sun?
Oh, no, 70. We had only hit 70 a few times this summer already. So I think 80, we'd all be dying here. So, all right. Well, Jerry, what do you think? Should we get going, you think?
Yes, I think we should. We've got talent waiting to go to work right now.
All right. Well, just to back everything up, I know I wasn't at the June meeting, but I was able to, thanks to Erin and her work over there in the department, because these are recorded, I was able to go back and listen to it. And I not only listened to the meeting once, but I listened to it twice just because I wanted to make sure I captured everything that people had been discussing throughout. I also had the opportunity to speak with some of the other facilitators recently and kind of learn some of their successes. And I spoke with John and Kenny from our state board as well. And so, John, maybe while you're on and while we have your talent here, could you maybe share a little bit of what happened in some of your subcommittees and that indeed in the email that went out there is an example of that? Because I think that our group can model around that a little bit.
Absolutely. I would be happy to. So, of course, this committee we're on right now is the Tribal and Community Ownership. And I think as folks know on this committee, we came up with three areas that we would like to have transformational ideas, which are partnerships, values, and self-governance, and community choices. An example, I am also on another committee, and that committee is Educator Excellence. And the three buckets that Educator Excellence came up with was to deal with transformational ideas with recruiting and retention, educator preparation, and educator professional development. And to give an example, so each of those groups, those three groups broke into subcommittees and they met. And they came up with 5 to 10 ideas. Not exactly sure yet because we're still working through the process with that committee. But for example, with the recruiting and retention, one of the key ideas that folks talked about was loan forgiveness as a transformational idea for educators as well as a state salary schedule. Again, I don't know what's ultimately going to be proposed, but that's sort of where they were. Second thing is with the educator preparation, there was an idea of an intensive teaching preparation through the university that actually took educators out into the rural communities. And as it related to the third one, professional development, they're focusing on mentoring. And again, you might think, well, mentoring's not transformational. But they're trying to come up with ideas to make a mentoring program be transformational for the state of Alaska. So again, that gives you an idea of the three buckets the recruiting and retention, educator preparation, and educator professional development, and then the ideas that they had underneath those. So again, the great news is we have our three big buckets, the partnerships, the values, the self-governance, and community choices. We just need to come up with the three transformational ideas that are what's, not necessarily how. So again, our what, and then the how will be worked out later. And I don't know if you have anything else to add with that, or Jerry does.
Well, John, the only other thing I would point out is that in the email that went out, there is a PDF that's entitled Subcommittee Work Example. And I just wanted to highlight that if people had or had not had a chance to look at that. But it's transformational ideas, recruitment, and continuous improvement. And it shows kind of some of the ideas and then how the committee ranked those out after they were laid on the table.
Exactly. Yeah, the subcommittee came up with 10 ideas, and then we put out a Survey Monkey, and everybody was supposed to pick their top three. And based on the top three of the whole subcommittee, we were working to narrow it down. Now what we're looking for is data. So, for example,
right. It's
great to talk about loan forgiveness, but I know that subcommittee is looking for data for when Alaska had loan forgiveness for education back in the 80s and, you know, what the issues were. So you're right. We came up with 10 ideas, and then the subcommittee voted to come up with the top three, and now we're, at least with the Educator Excellence, exploring that as it relates to the recruiting and retention and continuous improvement.
And I think that process seems to be like a good model that we could potentially do in our subcommittee work today or in a big group work if we don't have enough for small subcommittees. So does anyone have any thoughts or comments or had an opportunity to look through that and what they have been thinking after hearing John and seeing the form on the email? Have we had anyone new join us since we did our quick introductions at the beginning?
This is Chuck Kopp. I'm online. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Chuck. Thanks for joining us.
And this is Val Davidson. I'm on as well. I'm sorry I'm late.
That's all right. Hi, Val. Glad you're here.
Hi.
Anyone else yet?
Geraldine Kelly from Quinnahawk.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you very much, Geraldine. I'm glad you got my message. All right. One more chance. Anyone else? We'll do that periodically as we know the afternoon starts getting busy there. So right now, just to recap, we have John Harmon and Kathy Komek and Jerry Lynn Kelly, Chuck Kopp, Tiffany Jackson, Kathy Wasserman, Dina Mitchell, Valerie Davidson, and I'm Timmy Tullis. And then we also have Jerry Covey. And from the state, we have Sarah, Aaron, and Courtney. So thank you, everyone, for your help in this. All right. So I also wanted to, when John was just mentioning that, it brought me to think about one of the other things that we did send out in that email, and that was the overarching how we kind of broke it down into these three categories. And the title of that document is a Word document, and it says overarching committee. Yes. Oh, I thought someone needed something. And so you'll see that under partnerships, you'll be able to see what people's thoughts were and comments were to each of those subcategories. So, for example, under partnerships, Tiffany, for example, said to reevaluate our relationship and partnership with all entities in the community and looking at that. And so I think when we break into smaller groups, if we have that privilege today, that using this document and the comments that were given at the in-person meeting might help us as we move forward. And that was just a thought or an example of some of the things we might do for that. Did anyone have a chance to look at the Inuit Circumpolar Council report?
I think so. Yes.
And who's that?
This is Chuck.
Chuck.
Yeah, thanks for sending that out.
Yeah. Well, I know that last year this group presented at the Association of Alaska School Boards conference, and many of our board members really appreciated the input and thoughts they had. And again, this was just something I thought was worth sharing with our committee, because they have done a lot of work around student success and education. And so I just thought this might be a good resource for folks as we break into groups. So, for example, their strategy one was to indigenization of education frameworks. And so they have lots of strategies under that. The policy piece, and then cultural-based curriculum. So a lot of things that I think this group is talking about. There's this Inuit language education is number four. And then their last one is educational leadership capacity. They have six. Traditional parenting skills. So I think, having that as a reference point might also be something that our subcommittees could reflect on, especially when we break down into smaller little categories. And if you haven't had a chance, because I know we're all really busy, that might just be a document that's worthy of a little looking at and attention. So I think that I would like us maybe just to go around while now that it's 1:15, and maybe just do a more official introduction, and again, your name, where you're from, and then a little bit, just a highlight of what's been going on in our busy Alaskan summers. And so, John, since I'm afraid we might lose you at some point, I want to start with you, and maybe you can re-explain where you are and why we're worried about losing you.
Okay, well, thank you. This is John Harmon, and again, I'm on the State Board of Education, and I'm really looking forward to everybody's input on this committee. It's been a great Alaska summer for me, although I've been on the road, and currently I'm in Edinburgh, Scotland, so it's actually heading toward midnight here, and my phone reception isn't very good. I've been cut out two or three times on calls today and even trying to get on here. So if I get cut out, I will call back again. But I am excited about this committee, and I think we've done a lot of work so far. I think it's just really pulling a lot of this together. So with that, I'll pass it back. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Kathy Komak?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can. Thank you, Kathy.
Sorry, I had to press some extra buttons. this is Kathy Komak, and I live in Unalakleet, and this is where Bering Strait School District is located. I am on our local advisory education committee, and so I'm representing BSSD, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Oh, any highlight from your summer?
Yes. I was up until late last night pressure cooking some silvers and even picking blueberries, so we're busy in summer.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Geraldine?
Hi, I'm a parent. I've been on the local advisory school board for about 9 or 10 years now, and so I'm representing the Lower Kuskokwim School District parents, and locally I work for the tribe, and I'm on the city council. So I have a busy schedule.
You are. Did you get to have any fun this summer?
Yeah. We cook fish and pick berries, and today wasn't a good day, so to head out for a last round of salmon berries before we pick blueberries. So, but I'm glad that I'm able to be here today.
Well, thank you, Chuck. Could you introduce yourself to the group?
Sure. Well, I'm a member of the Alaska State House representing District 24, and I am a lifelong resident. I was raised in rural Alaska in the Iliamna and Bristol Bay region. My parents were school teachers, and so that's kind of where I got my interest in education, is from my mom and dad. I'm on the education committee in the House. This education challenge, working with you all, is probably going to be one of the most important things that I'm involved with, and I'm just really happy to be diving in with you to make a difference for the future of our state.
Thanks, Representative. Tiffany.
Good afternoon. I'm Tiffany Jackson. I'm on my local Aleutians Eastborough School District board. I also sit on the Association of Alaska School Boards Board and the National School Board Association Board. Let's see, what else? A highlight for my summer? I got to stay home for like a week. That's a highlight. So I was glad to be here for as long as I was.
You are a busy woman on the road.
Yep.
How about Commissioner Davidson?
Hi, this is Val Davidson. I work at the Department of Health and Social Services. Grew up in Bethel and also upriver in Aniak. I'm actually in Bethel today. The summer has been busy working on health care legislation at the national, just what's happening at the national level.
Oh, sure.
That's okay. It's, you know. I have been able to do a little bit of fishing, and it's been an interesting summer.
Well, thank you, and thanks for joining us today in the midst of your busyness.
Yeah, we're all busy. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Kathy Wasserman.
This is Kathy Wasserman. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Municipal League. Well, for the summer, since we just got past another adjournment, I've basically been here working, just dealing with legislative issues and how they affect municipalities. So I haven't really gotten away at all this summer.
Well, again, thanks for your hard work.
Well, that's what we all do.
That's
huh?
what we do. How about you, Dina?
So I am a member of Great Alaska Schools, which I think most of you are familiar with. It's the grassroots group that supports success for every student across Alaska. So I am super, super excited about our work. And I really enjoyed reading that, the ICC document. I feel like that is, I just was nodding my head as I was reading the entire document. And in terms of fun this summer, we've had several visitors. My son just left yesterday morning to head back down to the lower 48, but he was here for 2 months, and I'm getting my daughter ready to leave for college in a couple of weeks. But I am super excited to hear that people are picking berries, because I'm waiting with bated breath for the blueberries to ripen in this area, and I can't wait to get out and do some picking.
Great, thank you. Has anyone else joined us that I didn't ask about yet?
This is Janet Seifeld calling in from Hughes.
Oh, great, thank you. I'm glad you're on, Janet. We were just doing a quick little introduction and talking about where you're from and who you're representing on this committee, and then something fun you did over summer.
Okay, I'm Janet Seifeld. I live in Hughes, and I'm a parent of four, the oldest being 28, the youngest being 8. I can't say where has summer gone, because I recently resigned from my job in the summer. In the springtime. I am a small business owner, though, so I've been busy with taking care of my business, but we've been out fishing this summer, first time that I've really been out since I've been working for the tribe for many years, but I'm really excited about our work here also. I did listen in. I wasn't able to attend the June meeting, but I did listen to the recording, and I'm just excited about the work.
Thank you so much, Janet. I really appreciate you being here. And I'm going to just remind you who I am, and then Jerry, I'll let you as well. So I'm Kimmy Tullis, and I work for the Association of Alaska School Boards, and I've been to most communities in Alaska, or onward to almost hitting many. I visited 33 school districts last year alone. I train school boards in the AECs and charter school boards, so I get to dip my toe into a lot of things in that area. And probably the highlight of my summer is that I have a brand new 3-month-old puppy. And I think at my age I was a little too old to begin a new puppy, but she's delightful and she's already been on the boat a few times as well, and she's doing great. It's just that my nights of sleep have been changed a little bit, and it's been a while since I've had that responsibility. So yeah, all you moms out there are laughing. So, Jerry, how about you just chime in a little bit then?
Thank you, Timmy. I'm Jerry Covey. I'm an education consultant, and I work with several school districts around the state. I'm currently working with the Department of Education on this project, and I have been enjoying the summer to the extent that I can. Grandkids and golf seem to take up my spare time, and trying to catch a sunny day when I can here to enjoy the weather. And I've had the opportunity to listen to every committee do their work, and it's very gratifying and rewarding, and it's a good reminder of how talented Alaskans are and how willing they are to work toward improving their education system. And it's very exciting, and I'm looking forward to your work and assisting in any way that I can. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. And Sarah and Aaron and Courtney, I know you're probably all sitting there going, Timmy, don't you dare ask us to do this. But I at least want to acknowledge that we have three amazing staff members at DEED on the phone helping us as well. Aaron kind of coordinates the whole process and for every committee, so I can't imagine the headache she's having. And Sarah was with us at our group in Anchorage when we all met in April. And then Courtney is kind of standing in for Sarah next month because Sarah will be gone, so she's joining us this time. So I just want to acknowledge and thank the three of you for the work you're doing, and just know that this group really appreciates it, as I know everyone else in the state does. I have a note from Tim Parker, so I'm kind of surprised, Tim, you're not online, huh? So I just got an email from him just before the meeting. So he may be running a little late. So with the fact that right now there's only 9 of us on the phone, I think that maybe instead of breaking into subcommittees, and Aaron, I'm sorry, I made you go through all the work to get other numbers, I think that maybe we could just have some discussions around the 3 subcategories instead of some subcommittees. Let's this 9 of us be the subcommittee. And I think try to reflect on how we came up with those subcommittees, and you know that the sheet that's entitled Overarching Committee Themes, maybe taking a look at those and going one by one, so starting with partnerships and then moving down to the values and lastly the self-governance, and maybe just starting to brainstorm some of the what we want from this. And I can start to capture them, and I know that Aaron's doing the same thing, but I think that might be, Jerry, do you have any other ideas, or does that sound like a decent process to you as well?
It sounds like a great process.
Yeah, I think with only 9 of us, I think we can just have some great discussions around them instead of putting 3 people in one room and saying, okay, you 3, come up with this. Does anybody have any objectives to that or have any other thoughts? Because I certainly don't want to think that I know everything or the best way to do everything.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it sounds good.
All right, so I know probably not everyone has the document right in front of them about the breakdown, but if you do and you could look at it, maybe I'll just, we'll start with partnerships, and maybe I'll just open the door by reading through a few of the comments and highlighting a few things and then open it up for discussion. Does that sound like an okay plan?
Yes.
Sounds great.
All right. So again, I'm not even going to say who said this. I'll just kind of read through and synopsize some of the comments there. So so the reevaluate our relationships with partners in all entities and communities, including tribes, cities, businesses. There are resources in every community to help with education. a comment on healing. How can we do that through this process? A healing methodology for our community. It's bigger than just the school. It needs to be statewide, federal, state, and tribal governments. Our children are the center. Everything else focuses in on them. Focus on larger community activities over what is happening in her child's school. Parental involvement is so important in education. Look back in the history of Alaska education, where grandparents were taken from homes and put in boarding schools. Build awareness of what happened and how it affected them in a negative way. There's still some trauma being passed down from one generation to another. Maybe if they did that, then maybe they'd make some appreciation of schools. Involve people to own it. If they're not part of it, how can they own it? Ask students if they want to be teachers. Create buddy partners. Have IT record elders. Break day out into morning in one language and a different language in the afternoon. The need to recognize that districts are different. Need to make sure that culture is involved in education. Local control and hiring teachers. Military families typically are here for 3 years. I like the idea of Alaska teachers teaching Alaska's children. Assuming all students are going on to higher ed, that's not accurate. We need to make sure the children have job skills. Schools need to embrace community and make them feel welcome. Schools need to lead the way. Schools need to partner with cities and tribes. Make it so that cities and tribes feel like they can volunteer at the schools. And the last comment under this is to set up internships with tribes. Use schools as a center place for the community, central place for the community. So that just broke my rule of talking way more than I like to. But I wanted to have those all heard in case people didn't have it written in front of them. So as we look at transforming our schools, and as we have all of those as parameters, what are some of the what's that this group could recommend that we should be doing around partnerships?
This is Chuck. So, you know, one of the things around partnerships that, you know, just in reviewing the Inuit Education Improvement Strategy Report, I thought these folks did a lot of work, and I was thinking that I think our group, it would be great to have a connection with their steering committee, because they do represent, you know, the four Inuit regions, which is a huge portion of Alaska, North Slope, Northwest Arctic, Bering Strait, and Southwest. And because they've kind of gone through this exercise for their region, and I thought it could be really valuable to talk with them about the end result of their process, kind of see if there's anything that we can that they could share with us and that would help us, you know, kind of better articulate our three priorities of partnerships, values, self-government, community choice, and I just think there's a lot of value in that. Anyway.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is Dina, and I agree. I think it was just a fantastic document, and I think a lot of what we've been discussing really is encapsulated there, and it would be interesting to hear from them since they put that together, I think, in 2014 or 2015, how much progress they think they've made. You know, what are some of the steps they've taken and which have been successful and which ones haven't been as successful?
Thank you. Other thoughts?
This is Tiffany. So when I think of partnerships, I think there are so many opportunities in our communities. And the thoughts that were shared that you read through to me and that were in that document, I mean, those cover a lot of them. So we're talking about transformative ideas, and I think they're great ideas. I'm how do we make these partnerships transformative? Like, how do we, I mean, they're great ideas. I love all of them. I like the idea of talking to the steering committee for the ICC.
Mm-hmm.
Was.
Yep.
And so I don't know if maybe we could invite some of them or a representative or whatever to come talk to us at a future committee meeting. But I also don't want to, like, just wait on that. Like, I feel like we need to be moving forward. And this is one of the things that I've been saying in my district as well, is how do we build these partnerships? How do we make this so that's more successful for our students? I love the idea of internships. I do them in my office. I encourage other businesses to do them as well, not just our tribes, but local businesses, the individual learning, like working with our students and finding out what their interests are. I mean, because, you know, we've had students that really struggled and they weren't sure if they were going to stay in school. Like, well, what are you interested in? Well, I'm really interested in mechanics. And going to the local mechanic, hey, would you be interested in this? So, but how do we turn that into partnerships? How do we turn it into a transformative idea? And I'm just going to stop right there. End of comment.
Thanks, Tiff. And I appreciate you bringing up the whole transformative. You know, how do we really help these partnerships? You know, what can we do that we aren't necessarily doing now, and what looks different? What is outside of that box?
Well, one of the things, this is Dina, one of the things that I think about is, you know, sometimes, I mean, I totally agree with Tiffany, and internships and those types of partnerships can be so transformative for kids. But sometimes kids don't even know that they necessarily have a skill or an interest, and it really takes a teacher recognizing that, or maybe even a community member who's involved with that young person. And, you know, some of that just gets back down to time and resources. But if teachers could, you know, if they really had the time to get to know students and say, oh, boy, you really have a skill in this area. Have you ever thought about trying to, you know, work in the senior home because you're so good at connecting with elders and bringing joy to them, or you're so empathetic? Or, you know, I think if we had more people looking for the, one of the things that really spoke to me in the ICC document was somewhere in there it talks about really respecting the students and the young people and listening to them and their wisdom. And if we could, you know, approach every student with believing in their potential and trying to find what one of the, you know, what some of their gifts are. And I know that's a very tall order.
I do agree. I think that, you know, that, thank you, Dina, that's, we can help students find their spark is always what I call it.
Yeah. And just knowing that people really do believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, this is Geraldine.
Yep. Hi, Geraldine.
My idea of the partnerships, I think it's easier said than done. Like, we could agree to be partners, but the follow-through, like fulfilling the roles and responsibilities, the commitment that each of us is supposed to follow through on or carry out, I think that in my community,
uh-huh,
I think that's what would be, like, the commitment that each partner follows through on is what we really would be lacking in, because I can agree to something, but then just because I agree doesn't mean I will necessarily do all my roles and responsibilities in carrying out what needs to be done. So, like, if my husband and I, as partners, are raising our kids, just because he's the father doesn't mean that he'll fulfill all his duties, or just because I'm the mother, I could be just winging to some of the responsibilities that I'm supposed to be carrying. So my take on the partnerships is the commitment of each partner to carry out their roles and their responsibilities.
Thank you. Other thoughts on transformable ways to partner?
Timmy, this is Jerry.
Yes.
As I listen, I really appreciate the comments, and it causes me to wonder, thinking of the best partnerships that you as committee members have been part of or observed, what are some of the characteristics of the most powerful partnerships that you are aware of?
This is Kathy. A lot of this, I mean, we could dig way down into the weeds to define how we mean partnership. Is it support? Is it moral support? Is it teaching? Is it giving your expertise to the students? But if I think of partnerships that will work in and with the schools, first of all, I think that somehow an identification needs to be made of the disincentives, why people don't partner more, and how to break down those disincentives so that a partnership is formed and then it remains in place for at least an amount of time that does some good. And the second thing, when I think of partnerships, because there's been a lot of discussion here about people coming into the schools and whatever, I think this is where the students need to be part of this. What is it they want? I mean, obviously, there are some things where the staff and the school has to say, no, it's not probably appropriate, but what is it that the kids want to learn? And what is it that they would like to hear that they're not getting in school now? And when I think of partnerships that have worked with AML, it's because both sides have had something to offer that the other side wanted. And if the other side doesn't want it, you can have the best person come into your school, but they just ramble on and on in a monotone. You've wasted it.
Thank you. Any more thoughts, as Jerry asked, about characteristics of a powerful partnership?
This is John. I think powerful partnerships involve, passion, engagement. And I know that's out there, and I know other folks have sort of commented on this, and this may be more of a how than a what. But I know when I've asked people, if you could structure a partnership, what would be the best way to do that, and how come we haven't done some of this in the past? And the reflections that I've gotten back from educators is that, they think it might be helpful if we were more formalized in that way. And it could be, some type of simple formalization of partnerships with education and the communities. Or it could be maybe something, again, it would probably be more transformative, where you had and the suggestion they gave me was, that maybe we need to change, for example, the Alaska State School Board, so it's not represented by judicial districts, but it's represented by, partnership interest groups. It's a little bit different, so we have all of the voices at the table rather than just the governor picking who they'd like to be and going through the appointment process. And again, the legislature would have to make that change, but it would formalize the process. So, and you can't have everybody at the table with that, but at least you can identify what are the most important ones as we believe it would transform education for Alaska if our current system isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
This is Al. I think that for a partnership to be effective, it needs to also be balanced, because right now it just feels like between the education system and tribes, there is not equal balance of power. We have advisory school boards, we have et cetera, but they don't have true power.
Thank you.
This is John, and I think that's an excellent point. I think that was one of the reflections that somebody that I spoke to that was from the Aleutians had tried to make to me about, you know, they appreciate the representation, but I think the balance word I like. Thank you.
And I hear someone else trying to come in as well.
Oh, this was Chuck. I was just agreeing with what Valerie said. Yeah, I think that was Valerie that talked about local school boards having more oversight. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay, yeah.
And it's more than that. I think until tribes actually do compacting, I think we're not going to really achieve the kind of balance and the kind of oversight that is really necessary for the system to be transformative.
Thank you.
This is Jerry. I really appreciate the link between balance and transformative, and I think we're moving forward. This is a very powerful conversation, and I think it's uncovering some things that could certainly be developed in terms of or woven into the recommendation that you develop.
Yes, so this is Chuck again. I think one of the things we do have to look at to truly be transformative is do we stay with education as it's structured now? And can we make that structure work? Can we transform within that structure? Or is the structure itself the thing that is most holding back the transformative change, and we have to break out of it and look at, you know, either something like Valerie suggested, the tribal compacts with education, or more autonomous regions that have policy coordination, you know, oversight, but between regions, so that we are still benchmarking against higher performing states and countries. We do want our kids to be able to have agreed upon, you know, standardized knowledge tests that they can certainly, you know, put out on a test. But within everything that comprises community and culture, which is so beyond the knowledge of just what is going to be required to pass a test, it has really much more to do with the identity of the person themselves. And, you know, maybe our maybe we need to look at a whole new way of almost giving power away to get the performance result that you want. I think that our teachers, our education system is fully capable of transforming a lot of different ways. But I think maybe something our group could do would give some bold new frameworks, you know, that could be looked at and really discussed. And I don't think it's up to us to answer, you know, all the questions of, well, you know, what does the tribal compact look like, or what do autonomous education regions look like? Let's say if we had a Yupik education region or Inuit, or, you know, and then how do we tie all those together so they can do. But I think if we maybe, you know, agree on some overarching structures that we think could really be transformative, that could really be a catalyst for some very focused advocacy and research to get the transformation rolling. So, okay, sorry, that was long-winded.
No, but I appreciate your input there.
Timmy, this is Jerry again. I think if we look at what Ontario has done, they have diversified the structure of their education system in terms of tribal schools. Some are operated by tribes. Some serve Indigenous students in rural communities and are not operated by tribes. There is a great variety of, in terms of structure, that they have incorporated into their system, which increases ownership. And I think one of the criteria for transformation is the feeling of ownership at the local level and the feeling of control over where your public system, education system is going. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is John. You know, along that lines, I know Arizona, I believe about 3 months ago, their legislature passed a law and was signed by their governor, where actually it did something very similar. It pushed down, as it relates to hiring and certification, from the state level down to the district level. So again, the thoughts were is rather than push things from top down, figure out the entity that has the need and works directly with folks and start there and move up. Of course, they have minimum standards, but they do give a tremendous amount of flexibility, my understanding is, under this new law.
Is this triggering thoughts in other people's heads? All right.
It's triggering a lot of thoughts, so don't take the silences.
No, I know. But what I'm thinking is we've been on the phone for an hour, or almost an hour, and it's just after lunch, and so I would imagine a few people might need to run to the restroom. So don't hang up, but let's just take a five-minute break, and we'll come back in 5 minutes, and if you want to stay on and just chat, feel free to do that. But let's take a quick five-minute break and let people go do what they might need to do, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? This is Liz Medicine Crow.
Hi, Liz. Glad you're joining us. This is Timmy, and everyone just took a restroom break.
Okay, I kind of figured something was going on. Sorry, I was joining late. My last meeting ran late.
No problem. I can fill you in on what we did already, and then originally we had thought about breaking into some subgroups to talk about the three categories, but with only 9 or 10 of us on the call, we decided that we may as well just have the discussion as a group as a whole. And we were just, we just got done having a half-hour discussion about the partnerships, and we still, so we'll come back and recap some of that. And then we're going to talk about the values bucket, and then we're going to talk about the self-governance community choice bucket.
Okay.
And as a group, it seems to be flowing well, just trying to make sure we hear from everyone. And just so you know also who's on the line, John Harmon's on, Kathy Kamarak from Unicleat, Geraldine from the Bethel region, Janet from Hughes, Representative Kopp, Tiffany Jackson, Valerie Davidson, Kathy Wasserman, Dina Mitchell from Great Alaska Schools, and now you.
Yay.
Yay! And Jerry Covey, of course, and then the team over at Deed that's helping us are also all here.
Great.
Hey, Liz, sometime, I wait one more minute to start. Next summer, my national workaholic group is going to be meeting in Juneau. We have a meeting every June, and it's days of sharing training tips and ideas and thoughts. And Lon and I would love it if you would consider being one of our keynote speakers during that.
Do you know what the dates are? I'm happy to help any way I can.
Okay, I will send those to you in an email. I do know the dates and everything. It's near solstice, I can tell you that right now.
Okay.
So we thought you might want to be in Southeast anyways.
Well, next year is celebration.
Oh, that's right. That's earlier in June though, right?
Yeah,
we're a little later in June.
Okay. I'm going to do the tribal, I'm going to do our canoe journey again. So I was like,
wonderful.
I'm in June.
Nope, it'll be at the end. So, but we would just, you know, we've been talking up all the work we've been doing with you guys, and everyone's so interested in the equity dialogues and things. So, Carrie, are you on now? I see an email from you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought that they announced when people came on.
No, this isn't like the ones that go beep. Carrie, I'm really glad you're on too, Carrie Boyd. So,
I just want to make sure you knew, because I apologize. I thought it was like the other where they.
No, but we're glad you're on as well. So, I'm not going to go around and take a check-in. People will slowly come back on from our five-minute break. We had to have one after the lunch break, of course. So, but Liz and Carrie, maybe, Liz, if you would go first. We just did a reintroduction of ourselves, kind of our role, and then a highlight of the summer.
Oh, okay. This is Madison Crow. I am with First Alaskans Institute. I'm Clinkett and Hiram from Chief Blonde, Cake, down in Southeast. And a highlight from the summer. I'm about to go home to participate and be part of our Kutch Eddy Clan Memorial Party on August 12th. So that's going to be a big highlight.
Thank you, Liz. And Carrie?
Highlight of the summer, my highlight was getting to see my son in the Navy in Germany. At the time, hadn't seen him for a few years. That was my highlight.
And then, Carrie, maybe just tell everyone what you represent or who you're representing while you're here on this committee.
I am Carrie Boyd from Yukon Koyukuk School District, and I am the superintendent here.
And you've been in that role quite a few years, right, Carrie?
Yes, many years now, many years.
No, you're not that old, so. All right, so to recap, instead of breaking into smaller subgroups, we just decided to talk about each three topic and as a group. And some of the things that people have said, we started with the partnerships, and a few people commented how much the ICC report kind of aligns with some of the thoughts and ideas from this committee, and that maybe next time we meet, we could maybe have Pauline or someone from that committee meet. Oh, goodness.
Sorry.
That's okay. Maybe we could have someone speak to the progress they've made and maybe if they've had some barriers and what they are, just so that we're aware of some of the steps they're taking. There was talk around that there's so many opportunities and committees for partnerships, but how do we really make those partnerships transformative? There was talk about holding partners responsible once they agree to be partners. You know, how does that all work? Really looking at both sides and, you know, asking kids, what is it that you want? Also realizing that sometimes kids don't know what they want until they're exposed to it, so it's kind of a catch-22 at times. Then Representative Kopp talked about, Valerie brought it up, and then we synopsized that there's got to be a balance of the power, and how do we work through that balance and make it transformative? You know, where do tribes have a voice instead of just being an advisory? Where do they have a voice? And really, do we need to look at the entire structure of education as it is in the state, and how do we break that down? How do we make sure there is a tribal component? And And then somebody mentioned a little bit about, do we have regional boards maybe? But what is a bold new framework instead of just doing how we've always done it? Someone mentioned the work that's being done in Ontario, and someone else mentioned the work that's being done in Arizona, where instead of being state down to local level, it's a local level reporting up to the state. Did I synopsize that okay, committee?
This is Val. I thought the most important thing that I said, and maybe I just didn't emphasize that.
I just didn't read it. Sorry.
is the importance of compacting, and I didn't
yes.
think we're going to truly get to an appropriate balance, and tribes are really going to have true ownership and true control without compacting.
Thank you, and I had that written down twice. I just somehow my eyes didn't see it, so thank you, Val. We'll get to that balance until, okay. Anyone else? So, Carrie or Liz, do you have any comments to add to the partnership comment and thought as we march forward?
No, I don't. That was Liz.
Not at this moment. I probably will later after we get off again.
All right. So, I'm going to then move on to the values, and I'm just Liz and Carrie and anyone else who may have joined, what I'm looking at is a document entitled The Overarching Committee Themes from the Day We Met in Anchorage Together, and I'm just trying to read through some of the comments that people made to kick off our conversation. So bear with me while I talk a little bit to read through these, because I don't think everyone has the paper copy in front of them. So so now we're looking at values. Realizing that we have bilingual school districts, when we incorporate culture into the school, we need to make sure kids are ready for life in the outside world as well. They're caught between English and their traditional language, and speaking broken languages may hurt in both. Local culture need to be brought into schools using our tribes. The advantages are great. It should be taught to everyone, not just Alaska Natives. There is such value in throwing out the silos, throw out the different subjects, do project-based learning. Someone speaks two different native languages, lives in two worlds, knows who he is and understands his language and his culture. Don't try to be something you're not. Attributes suicide of children to losing their way. We need to incorporate language and culture into the curriculum at a young age. Buy-in may be difficult. We need to heal. How can we do that through this process? Healing methodology in the community. It is bigger than the schools are. It needs to be statewide. Our children are the center. Ethnic diverse workforce. Look at every school and look at students attending and look at the workforce. Need to recognize that all districts are different. Need to make sure that culture is included in education. We lose a lot of training dollars when we hire outside of Alaska. Working on hiring from within. Honor our teachers more. Local control for hiring teachers. Likes the idea of Alaska teachers teaching Alaska children. We can't assume all students are going into higher ed. Need to make sure that funds are used to support Native students. Proficiency level in Alaska Native students is lower than Caucasians. Make schools represent the people of the school. Elementary, middle school, and teaching staff work with you. What's the space that you learn in? Sometimes you go to an alternative school that allowed her to do a lot of more hands-on activities. Schools are like a family unit, lift the roof off the learning space. Change the value set and ideas we have. For example, we are talking about education of all kids versus education of Alaska Native kids. Make education more youth-centered. Teach kids how to think, not what to think. And the last comment, we need to teach values to our children. So some of those statements were also in the first grouping, but repeated in this one because they probably bridged both categories. So I think now, just opening it up, if we think about all these, how can we make a recommendation to the department, to the state board around this area to transform education, thinking about this category of values.
This is Tiffany.
So thanks, Tiff.
I hear a lot in like the list that when we had our conversation back in Anchorage, and just recapping the list, talking about our native ways and our native kids and some of those values. And I should have just, I thought I had everything right here. Here it is. Talking. Local culture, and I think that's going to be critical moving forward. And, you know, sometimes we get pushback going, well, is, you know, that's not everybody's culture. It's not, but it is the local culture of Alaska, and I don't think it's a bad thing to push for the local culture, and it's, you know, different from region to region, to be incorporated in our schools. I mean, I think it's important. So our kids do feel like they're a whole child. I mean, I'm jumping between meetings, so we're just looking at our theme for AASB being the whole child, or educating the whole child at our conferences here. But incorporating our cultures is going to be critical to doing that. And I don't think it'll be bad for people who aren't native. I think it'll be good for people to understand this land and the First Peoples here, and they're good values that everybody can benefit from. End of comment.
Thank you, Tiffany.
And this is John. You know, along that lines, I know with the Educator Committee, which was one of the other committees, we had a subcommittee meeting where we were talking about educator preparation, and one of the things that came out from all of the participants in that is that you know, Alaska is very diverse, more diverse than any other state, and you know, it is a challenge bringing up teachers from outside, and then you know, trying to have them understand the diversity of Alaska, whether it's the diversity of Alaska in Anchorage or out in more of a rural setting. And one of the things that group talked about was to try to come up with some type, again, I don't know if it's going to be one of the top ideas that comes out of the subcommittee, but one of the ideas was, you know, how can we recruit from within? And along that lines, you know, I think there's a crossover to this group in that, you know, successful teachers and educators and folks that come in and stay in the system are folks that understand the system, that are brought up in the system. You know, and not to say somebody from outside couldn't be, but you know, people that come from the communities themselves, they have that knowledge. So I don't mean to ramble, but just a thought of you know, maybe somehow this committee with values can think about, you know, how can we transform education with using and developing our local talent.
Thank you, John.
This is Liz. I'm just throwing some ideas out here in the way that I'm thinking about an example of how valuing Alaska and Alaskans, Alaska Native peoples, and our places across the state. Potentially a way to show value and to capture the values of those places is by, I think, kind of going back into some of what I heard being shared in the partnership conversation, but how do you translate those partnerships and that active commitment to true partnership being one of co-ownership, one of compacting, one where tribal communities are making the decisions about education in their communities for everyone. Another way of thinking about an example of that could be that the weight of where we put our best is not just within urban areas, So I'm thinking about something that I hear a lot around how we have some teachers will choose to do their top 3 years of for their retirement out in rural communities before moving into the city so that they can have the higher wages. And I've thought about that a little bit more in terms of how would you reverse that to show value in and belief in and commitment to the rural areas of Alaska. What is the change that could be made there to allow that to be actually the opposite?
Yeah. And this is John, and I think that's an excellent point. I know, again, I sit on the Educator Excellence Committee as well, and one of the ideas that the educator recruitment came up with was apparently 11 states do this, is my understanding. We're trying to get data on it, but they have a set salary schedule throughout the state, so there's a quality through the whole process. So again, I don't know, Jerry, this would be a question for you. Is it possible to have a transformational idea that crosses over two of the committees, or are we trying to do something separate?
John, thank you for your question, and thanks to everyone for your comments. I believe that your committee should develop recommendations as you think they should be. If they cross over into another committee's work, so be it. I don't think you should sacrifice your intent or your quality based upon some arbitrary rule. It will ultimately be the responsibility of the state board to review all of this and reformat it, rethink it, and make changes as they see appropriate. So I think whatever your group's best thinking is what you should advance. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Liz, did you get all your comments out? Maybe she had to step away.
I'm here.
I'm sorry.
I have my mic on. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I think that, I'm good for now. I was thinking of two examples. I shared the first one. I'll wait for the second one because I want to make sure other people get a chance to comment.
Thank you, Liz. Other thoughts that people are thinking around this category?
The category is still values, right?
Well, that's what I think anything is up for discussion. So
okay.
That's the one we're still talking about. But again, any discussion, anyone's up for discussion.
Jimmy, this is Geraldine.
Hi, Geraldine.
Thinking about values and how our children in our community are not fully aware or have heard values that those of us who are of an older generation were taught and told. I think passing down elder wisdom and knowledge is a big factor of the values that our children hear or learn. And so thinking back on how it was with my ancestors and how boys lived in Akazizek, a steam house, and women lived in houses. I think that values were passed on from elders and men to the boys, and values of roles and responsibilities were passed on from women to their daughters. And I think that we need to revitalize that, passing down like respect and the I used to see posters that read, that it takes a village to raise a child,
and how community members used to take care of their elders, you know, by sharing them their game or their subsistence gathering, and how nowadays those values are lost because instead of sharing, we see many younger people selling their game or their berries to those that cannot subsist anymore. So I think as leaders, it's our responsibility to pass down values that we were taught to the next generation, because the next generation isn't really at fault for not knowing. Does that make sense?
Of course you do, Jerilyn. Thank you for your comments. Other comments around this category or area?
Well, yeah, this is Dina. Can you hear me?
Yes, Dina.
Okay. So I'd like to just add to whoever spoke first in this category, getting back to the teaching of the Native values, given that we are in a state that's, you know, more directly connected, I think, to Native people than maybe other areas of the country. I think that whether these kids are Native or not, it would be a huge benefit to them, to everybody in the state, to have that kind of focus. And so I really, really like that idea. And, you know, for people who are not Native, they can think about what parts of the values resonate with them and what parts don't, and it can create some really rich discussions. And I just really like that comment.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Tim. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Tim. Welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been on for a while.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right. I didn't have good phone service where I was, but now I do. On the values area, and I'm not sure if there was discussion in the first 45 minutes I wasn't able to get on, but the Inuit cultural document that I included in the smart sheet, I hope everyone had a chance to look at it, because one of the key areas of the six recommendations they had was in the values. And they're very interested in seeing those values being taught in schools. I must say, as somebody who's been in a lot of schools around the state this year, each of the regional areas around the state seem to have a focus on values that emerges in slightly different ways. In Southeast, there's posters in the majority of classrooms that list the Native values there, and there are specific teachers who have rooms that are dedicated to some of that work. And those exist in Southeast. It looks different in the Southwest area. And in some of those areas, the values are taught sometimes in a school that has two languages going on all at one time. Maybe rotating which language is spoken in the hallway on a different day. That's the way those values start to come out. And of course, in the North, the Inuit document that I included has some very specific requests that are made there. I think one of the best things that we can do is try to allow and encourage the regional areas in our state to build on that in some way, to find the way that they can get those values into their schools in the way that makes the most sense to them and works, frankly. I think that's the recommendation that I would like to see us moving forward with this, regionally letting people, letting different areas do that. Thank you. Tim.
And Tim, just to catch you up, that we did speak about the ICC report. Both you and I must have been thinking alike, because I also included it, and then I had seen that you had put it up there as well. There was a suggestion that potentially we maybe ask someone from that committee to give an update to this committee, or from that group to this committee, on some of the work they've done and where they've had some successes and where they're struggling a little bit. So we may try and reach out to them.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that we both happened on that one. Just one final thought on this area. The regional things that are good things are going on. Like I said, I encounter them when I'm going throughout the state, and they always look a little bit different. The oddest part, and this is something I've talked to the commissioner about, is it doesn't seem like one region knows what the other region's doing. Or if they do, it's very, very loose. And so a lot of times I'll go back and I'll talk to the commissioner about it, and I'll say, hey, I just found, you know, this thing going on in this region. And he kind of knows about most of those things, but of course his plate is really full, so he has a hard time being the one conduit of information on this. I have other duties that I'm working on also, but it would be nice if there was a place where some of the best ideas were being shared. And that's something a state can provide, is a place that, you know, where would you find the ICC document as well as the poster from Southeast Alaska that's explaining the regional values that are there? And where would you find a document from the Gateway District talking about how they're incorporating dog sleds or mushing into their local curriculum, which is something I just saw a couple of weeks ago when I was there. I don't know where that one document is. I feel like, you know, these things happen to fall into my lap at different times, and I want to know that there's some place where I can look and sort of see them all and go, oh, those are some cool things. So things like DEED, that's a role that DEED could play in some way, shape, or form. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Hey, Timmy, this is Erin Harden with the department.
Hi, Erin.
I wanted to jump in quickly off of Tim's comments because I thought they were really valuable, and especially what DEED's role might be. And I just wanted to put this out there for the committee to think about, that in the past the department has had a position, I believe it's entitled a Rural Education Coordinator, and I believe part of their work has been to provide that exact sort of resource service to districts to be a house of information to help make sure that districts know what partnerships might be available to them, you know, share information across districts and regions and so forth. So I just wanted to put that out there. It's certainly a position, I think, with budgets and whatnot that we would like to fill in the future. I don't know how that might fit or not fit into the work of the committee's discussion as a whole, but I just wanted to throw that out there for the committee to be aware of.
Thank you, Erin.
Yeah.
This is Chuck. I think something that's really powerful is the idea of a value-based education. And it's powerful in that, you know, we know that a lot of the issues that make the front page of our paper each day are symptomatic of a society that's really struggling with, an anchor system that's working, and values really are an anchor. They're very powerful anchors that keep us stable, that keep us. And, you know, when you look at the Inuit, student success, you know, what does it look like? And they talk about the values there on page 2 of that report. Humility, seeking input from elders, respectful, honoring others, sharing, caring, sense of purpose, knowing and understanding your self-identity, being culturally grounded, being patient, being spiritual, motivated, engaged, hardworking, passionate, articulate. And it really is a great reminder of all that education truly comprises and just how difficult of a job teachers have. But it also, I think, underscores that the most important curriculum in the life of every child is the teacher standing in front of them. Only the teacher gives them the entire delivery of education as a whole person. You know, otherwise, you could have a computer teaching every class, and but it is, you know, so we'll never get away from, I think, you know, replacing teachers, actual teachers, but I think that for the value system to work, it really underscores how important it is that we get the teachers right, and that we because we are recognizing that we are, well, basically that within knowledge, knowledge itself, it's much more than just the hard sciences, much more than just what we can smell, taste, touch, you know, hear, see. That knowledge, you can know things that don't fit into that category. That gets into values. And, you know, I guess a magnetic field in science would be one example. You know, we can't touch, taste, smell, but we know the effect. We know there's a magnetic field there, but values are like magnetic fields. We know they're there, and we know they work because we can see what a value produces in the life of a child or in an adult later in life, and we can see what it does not produce if it's not there. So I'm not exactly sure what I'm saying, but I'm saying, but other than that, values I think are far more important than just a term we throw out there, but they are probably foundational to the whole thing, to an education system working or not. And I think that if we can really be intentional about transference of values, you know, realizing we just have a short exchange zone, you know, it's like a relay race where you have the parents passing off to the kids to carry the baton. Boy, if that baton isn't transferred in that 15-meter zone, you're DQ'd. I think that's what's happening a lot. The values aren't passed on, and so I think educators really have a chance to be used very powerfully in that way to help with that transference of values from one generation to the next. I mean, they have the kids for 12 years. And thanks for bearing with me on that philosophical moment. I will now be quiet.
Thank you.
This is Tiffany. Just building on that comment, part of the comment was I don't think we're going to get away from teachers, but personally, I think we might want to consider that those people, having the right people, but having the staff as a value for education, because there was a lot of conversation in the past few years about utilizing distance ed and how districts can save money and everything. But I agree, I think who the teacher is and how that's implemented, I think having a teacher is critical. And I don't dismiss distance ed whatsoever, but it has to be done right. And I don't think it can be done without there being the right person in the room with the students. Even if it's not a teacher, if we have, you know, I'm getting into the how now, but the people, having the right people, that needs to be a value, you know, having the right people there.
Thanks, Tiffany. Other thoughts, comments?
This is Dina. So the downside of not having a face-to-face meeting is that people can't see other people nodding their heads in agreement.
Absolutely. I think about what Tiffany was just speaking to about online classes, and I'm sure all of us have had to do that, but yes, they have a time and a place, and they work really well. And sometimes you miss the things that you don't get to experience in person. So, thank you. Other thoughts or comments or ideas around this area?
Timmy, this is Liz.
Okay, Liz, thank you.
The other thing that I was thinking a little bit about is, you know, we've been doing this in partnership with you folks at AASB, some of the community engagement work with communities around the state about how to incorporate and involve the community in the school at a much deeper substantive level. And I think that there's some real incredible information that's coming out of those conversations. That's kind of the, where the rubber meets the road in terms of what's really happening in these communities we've had an opportunity to partner with. And I think that there's some real strong cores that are being said here on this call, but there's also some other areas that might help us dig a little deeper into what that kind of partnership or value is, or, you know, that relationship amongst governments might look like. So I just want to pop that up as an area that we might be able to share out with the group or groups through this process. The other thing that I was thinking about in terms of values is something that I know everyone's had heard before and has been a challenge, is around how to get the teachers to actually be part of the community. And I know that it's kind of a continuing conversation. There are some who, of their own free will, understand that the way that they can be the best teachers is to have a really great relationship with the community, and they make their life there. One of the things that we've heard a lot is that they, you know, that we wish that our teachers would actually stay in the villages during the holidays, during the summer, that they weren't just waiting for the very first flight out of town to get out of the village and get out of the community, so that there's more of a commitment to the entire place rather than just a classroom and a building. And I think that that shows true value. And I think that there's a place for values-based teachership in communities that are built on those values that have been articulated and that I heard Geralyn speaking to really well. And so I was thinking a little bit about that.
Thank you. Absolutely important.
This is Janet, and on the flip side of that, the parent part, you know, parent involvement is so important, and a lot of parents don't realize that. And I'm guilty of it myself, working a full-time and a part-time job for many years. You know, school starts in the fall and school ends in the spring, and life goes on, and, you know, I think having the parents think about the school in that same way would be really nice. Like I said in the beginning, I resigned from my job with the tribe in the springtime, so my hopes are to be more involved in my child's education. And just listening to everybody's comments, you know, and realizing, you know, I wish I would have done this a long time ago. But, you know, my kids are okay. They're doing good. But my kids, and I think that on the flip side of it, parents need to realize that they need to have a place there at the school too and take up that seat and really pay attention to what's going on with their child's education.
Thank you, Janet. Any other thoughts as we...
Well, I'd like to kind of pick up on that. This is Dina.
Sure.
You know, I think we talked in our very first meeting. This goes back to the first topic of partnerships, that, you know, that the partnership with the parents is really critical. And I'm sure it's very different in the rural communities than it is in Anchorage, where, you know, the ASD is so big and have a real bureaucracy, and it's not always a welcoming place for parents. So I think it's something we have to be very cognizant of and make room for parents to be involved and welcome them in. And, you know, obviously there's support they can do at home, but to really leverage that partnership more in more intentional ways.
There's such an overlap between the first category in this one. That's why I think a lot of the comments were also overlapping in those.
Yep.
Any more thoughts on this one? Or at least right this second. We can always come back, of course. All right, well, again, I hate not being able to see people's faces, but I think what I'd like to do then is come back and read you the third bucket that we had, and it's a much shorter list, so I won't have to speak as much, but this is the self-governance community choice bucket, and again, some of the comments overlap. For example, the first one is the same in this one and the other one about the bilingual school districts. When you incorporate culture into school, you need to make sure that we're also preparing students for the outside world caught between English and traditional native language. Local culture needs to be brought into the school using the tribes. Two different native languages. Oh, that's the one I read before. So there's lots of these. Repetition, knowing both languages helped, knowing culture helped strengthen him. Standardized testing is somewhat culturally inappropriate. Self-governance, tribal health is some of the best healthcare systems in the nation. Have tribes own and control the education system. Some form of racial equity is critical. Families are not made to feel welcome in the schools. Support Helen's self-governance idea, which was the one right above. Proficiency levels in Alaska Native children is lower than Caucasian. Make the schools represent the people and set up internships with tribes. Use school as a central place for the community. So those might be some ideas to just get our brains going a little bit around self-governance and community choice. And I think it kind of reflects back onto what Valerie talked about early on with partnerships. So, who would like to take a stab at just what they're thinking right now?
Well, this is John, and actually, it's not what I'm thinking. I had asked some folks over the summer, when I've been discussing educational issues, and this is one that came up. And, you know, there are a number of folks that really do like the idea of the greater tribal ownership related to education. And what they also said in reflection to that, you know, that just doesn't mean rural tribal education because, as we all know, you know, Anchorage is made up of a lot of different backgrounds and stuff. So to keep that in mind, if this was a way we were going, and again, I think how we get there is the how, not the what. But this is sort of a what that really resonated with some folks that I spoke with.
Thank you, John. Anything new or repetitious to add to this? Because it seems like we're coming up with some bigger themes that overlap within these budgets, so or buckets. Freudian slip there.
This is Tiffany.
I mean, sure, Tiff.
I think it's pretty clear in what you read, but I think the idea of self-governance and compacting, I mean, I think that is a transformative idea. I mean, it's not something we're doing in Alaska right now. That's a pretty big idea right there.
Right.
You know, and I think, and this is John, Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a clarification question, but if that ends up being one of the ideas, the how we get there is the next step. But right now we just want to come up with the what, correct?
That's correct.
All right, other thoughts or ideas? Well, Well, hearing none, what I'd like us to maybe do now is think about the kind of the themes that we've heard a lot of today. And transformable themes, it seems like in my head I have some, but I'm just a facilitator. So what are people hearing that has been repeated and repeated that we might want to begin to think about as a recommendation towards a transformation of education in Alaska?
Compacting.
I absolutely have that written down several times. So, yes, that was one of them.
And I agree. And this is like a clarification question. Are we coming up with one, or would you like one for, and I know you're facilitating one for each of the buckets.
I just think at this point in general, what were some of the two or three big ones? And I don't necessarily care if it's under a bucket or not. I just, because I keep hearing the same things, and I'm just wondering what are those themes or what are those transformations that we're hearing overall?
Thank you.
Well, yeah, I think this is Chuck. I do like the idea of exploring education compacts. That'd be not sure what category that falls under, but
it could be our overall arching umbrella.
Yeah. In going through the Inuit Circumpolar Council Alaska Education Report, it really is very significant, and it sure would be good, I forget who said it, to hear back from those folks to see how their strategy is moving along. Maybe there's something we could learn from that. Under the values, I think that, I know I've already said quite a bit about values, but I think that I think if we get that right and we figure out how to effectively transfer values, that a lot of success in education will start taking care of itself. And then under the self-government, I guess that gets back to the compact, education compacts and community choice. Under self-government too, I was thinking that one of the things that we talk about with self-government is having an education system that helps children rise to the level of self-government, where they can be self-governing. And actually that's a whole discipline process of going from a child to a young woman, a young man, where you are prepared to live in a society where people are self-governed. And it takes schooling, education, practice. And I think it's very cultural in our various indigenous communities in Alaska to educate children that way. And so I guess I look at self-government both in the sense of community control and also a value that we're teaching our young people.
Thank you.
So this is Dina again. As Chuck was saying, that if we can really get the values piece right, the rest will take care of itself. I was just thinking about, and I think this came a little bit later in his comments too, is that whole concept of values is just to me so powerful, because part of that is really kids having that self-governance piece and understanding that they are an important part of the community and that they can contribute to the community and that they are important and have responsibilities. And I think that that can really empower them and also maybe get at some of the social issues that we're seeing, everywhere. It's a huge task, but I think it really could help try to address some of that.
So what I'm hearing right now is that we have a what of compacting, and then we have a what of around the values, maybe the transformation of the values from adult to student. That's a what that we'd like to see continue. Are there any other whats that we want to see?
To me, this is Terry.
Oh, Terry, yeah.
I just have a clarification question. In terms of education compacts, if that idea is advanced to the state board, it would be important that enough information goes with it so that they have a thorough understanding of what education compacts are, so that they can appropriately give it consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. And I think someone else was about to speak.
Yeah, this is John. Jerry asked a good question. If you want to go down that line first, or if you want me to make my comment first, I'm fine either way.
Would anyone, if there are, I mean, there may be some people online that need a little further explanation of what compacting would be, and I'm wondering if anyone would like to take this opportunity to share that a little more extensively with the group.
Well, so, okay, this is Chuck. You know, we have, of course, examples of compacts. We got the Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education, the WISHE. It's a, you know, it's a compact between states. It's an agreement on how we incentivize and mutually incentivize and support each other's educational programs. You know, states can do it. So that's an external relationship between states. There's internal relationships where states will compact with entities that want to take on that responsibility because they believe that they can better deliver it than the state doing that itself. Now, it doesn't mean they don't want to partner with the state. It just means they want to take the lead and what that looks like. So for Alaska, I think, you know, what we are saying is that we would like to look at Alaska compacting with tribes or compacting with maybe regional Native corporations. And it may not be something that would, you know, be a solution for every area, but we want it to be explored because we think that the idea of self-governance and community control and getting back to a value system in education that's truly reflective of the culture and the people and is something that they own and want to see succeed, that we have to give that control away. In other words, to get at success, what we do have to give control away. And it's kind of scary, but we are talking transformative here. And I think that, so whether it's a tribal compact or a Native corporation compact, or it could be, thinking out of just that box, it could be even other groups that, you know, that I haven't thought of, that we haven't thought of yet that may be interested in compacting with the state. I do think it's always important that we are focused on producing measurable results that can be benchmarked. I think we all want that. We want to know how our systems are doing. But one thing we do know, because we all sat through the introduction, is that the system we have now, according to all the benchmarks that we use now, is not doing well, which is why we're having this discussion in the first place. So, I think that, you know, we do all agree that we want something to be benchmarked, but we also realize that to get out of the ranking that we're in now and to have an education system that truly reflects our cultural diversity and is going to promote the success of the whole person not just on an academic score, that we do have to give some control away. And that's probably the only way we're going to get at success. And probably with some smart people looking at how education compacts are set up in other states, my guess is we wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel.
Thank you.
This is Val. Probably if you're looking at compacts, we have a really good model in Alaska between for the tribal health system that used to be the healthcare delivery system in Alaska used to be delivered by the Federal Indian Health Service. And those services are now operated and owned by tribes and tribal organizations and has completely transformed the healthcare delivery system. And I think that's the level of transformation that folks are really looking for. And, you know, we are right now at the Department of Health and Social Services in a process of negotiations with tribes and tribal organizations for compacting child welfare services. And I think that, you know, there are models that exist in state that we should look and learn from that are really different than some of those interstate models or other state models. I think those are helpful, but we always say Alaska is very different and Alaska is very unique, and there are some models that exist here already. And I think one of the things, the cautions I would just provide, and we talked about this in our negotiation with tribes, is that there seems to be this thing that happens when we're talking about negotiations or compacting, this sort of, there's always a, you know, someone in the room will say or even say something like, well, you know, do tribes really have the ability to do that? Can they provide these services? And there's always some kind of hint or notion that tribes don't have the expertise to be able to do that work. And sometimes it's very subtle when it's said, and I always appreciate when it's actually said out loud, because I've learned that that there are folks who also feel that way but won't necessarily say it out loud. And I think it's important to have those honest conversations. I think it's one of the reasons that we continue to have advisory school boards instead of school boards where tribes have the actual authority to be able to make those decisions. The other piece is that as we were having those conversations, there's always a point where someone will say, well, okay, we'll agree to do this so long as they can meet these standards of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And pretty much the standard is akin to perfection. And it's not often a standard that we are achieving ourselves as the state. And so when we were having just last week, when we were having the conversation for compacting child welfare services, we all reminded each other that, okay, we're entering new territory here. You know, some of us have done compacting for 17 years, but for most folks in this venture, it was really the first time. And we were going to make the very best decisions we could based upon the information that we had and, quite frankly, with resources that none of us has. And so we are, since it's the first time we're doing it, we're bound to make mistakes, but we're going to do the very best we can, and we're going to have to make adjustments as we realize, as moving forward toward implementation, oh, guess what? Well, we forgot something. Then we pause and address it but continue moving forward. And really a lot of that is about developing and solidifying relationships and really shifting, you know, at its base, a little bit of a shift in power. And that's really uncomfortable for people. And I think we shouldn't underestimate the amount of thought and care that needs to go into thoughtful planning, and just recognize that we're all in this together, and the expectation of perfection while a worthy goal, is not a standard that we, the state, are achieving. And so to require that of somebody else seems unreasonable and unlikely. And what we do know is that, you know, from a larger population base, we are not adequately serving the needs of children in tribal communities or Native children in larger communities. And, you know, there certainly are exceptions, but we all know the statistics, and I'm not going to repeat those. But I think compacting, it's time. It's been time. And we should move forward with a planning process for how to do that well and responsibly.
Thank you so much for the example and for all the information on that one, Valerie.
This is Tim. Can I jump in?
Yes.
All right, thanks. So I am in support of this concept, but I still have questions about what it means. And I'm glad that Jerry got us down the road of like, well, let's explain what this means, because the state board would probably benefit from that, even though we have state board members on each of these committees. So we want the community to build a stronger connection to the schools. I mean, that's what we want. And we think that compacting is going to do that. I guess I'd like to know exactly how, and maybe Val, you can help with that. How does compacting in schools change that dynamic? And I know, you know, you gave a great example of how it worked in the medical field, but I'd be curious to see how that's going to build a stronger connection in schools, because I think that's what we want. I think that's what people have said. That's certainly what I think would benefit the system. We have single site districts in the state, some, not many. Are they essentially already compacting there? I guess I wonder about that. So that's an open question. And the other open question that we haven't spent much time talking about is the urban question. What would this mean for urban Alaska? Does it mean any change at all? We are putting all the elephants in the room here. There are pockets of success in this state that we don't talk about a lot. We hold up some statistics and talk about them and look at the aggregate and say, oh, there's some areas that have some problems. But we also send many students to great success in this state through the education system. So I think to paint it all with one brush or another brush is not accurate. I think all of us, almost all of us probably, are parents and have had children go through the system and seen some success and not success. And we want to see success for everyone. When we talk about shifts in power, that's okay. But I guess I would caution about what we're not talking about. I don't think we're talking about handing over control of our education system to corporations. Unfortunately, that's a model that's popped up throughout the country, usually under the guise of charter schools. Our charter schools in Alaska don't have any of that, and it's one of the reasons they work. But it's certainly something that exists out there, and if we open this door and start just walking through it, we might find ourselves someplace we don't want to be. And I don't think we're looking to turn our schools into for-profit corporations for some outside entity. I think we also want to continue to have democracy and locally controlled, democratically elected people running our schools and not handing it over to any outside entities. I guess that's a similar related thought to who are we handing this power over to? And I think we're saying let's hand it over to the communities themselves to make good decisions. So anyone can help me with that. I'm throwing it out to Val a lot because I know she's got a lot of knowledge on how it works in the medical field. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
So those are really, really, this is Val. Those are really, really great questions. And So in terms of the urban question, here's how tribes handled that in Anchorage. There is a cosigner that is based in Anchorage that serves as the compactor, South Central Foundation, for the Anchorage Service Unit. And they provide services just as the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation in the Bethel area provides services to the 58 federally recognized tribes in this region. I'm in Bethel today, so. The other is that for a statewide service function, which is provided at the Alaska Native Medical Center, what happened there was it's a statewide tertiary and specialty hospital, but it is also the local hospital for the Anchorage Service Unit. And so it is jointly managed by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, which has statewide representation on their board. But it is also jointly managed by South Central Foundation, which is the local tribal organization that provides services there. And so there is an existing mechanism and an existing model for the provision of services in an urban setting. The other is, after that transition happened, it took a little while to get there, and although not much, for a long time, the Alaska Native Medical Center was the only level 2 trauma center, certified trauma center, and it's a national certification in our entire state. And only recently did Providence become the second level 2 trauma center in Alaska. So in terms of quality, in terms of sophistication and ability to provide care, that is happening right now. And it simply comes because I speak from experience when I say, I know when I worked in tribal health, which I did for 15 years, and I was working at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation when I first started, there is no better test of how we are doing as an organization than coming home to eat dinner at your grandmother's dinner table when she has had an appointment with her provider earlier in the day. There is nobody more invested than providing for the quality of services than when we are providing those services on our own behalf for our children, for our family members, for our neighbors, and for our friends in our community. And I think the piece that has been lacking is, think about and count the number of whether it's teachers or administrators who have retired and have chosen to remain in that community. Not very many. And we have the opportunity to change that through compacting.
Thank you, Valerie.
This is Chuck. Tim, I appreciate some of the questions also that you brought up and Valerie's response. Tim, in my mind, whatever model we go with, we're still going to need our education system and our public school teachers. So I think the discomfort is in the change of how it looks, what it looks like. I'm not sure I quite followed you with you on charter schools. I think we have some outstanding, examples of success in charter schools in Alaska that have a lot of, local control and a sense of much more parent involvement. And even if maybe from a technical or a legal perspective, it's not on paper as much as what people articulate. What the parents articulate is they feel much more engaged in everything from the curriculum to the goals and priorities of the school, and a much greater sense of ownership. As you probably know, our top performing school in the state is the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School in Muldoon. Just 7 or 8 years ago, it was one of the lowest performing, and now it's the top tier school, and it's got a lot of parent control and involvement in that school. It's a public school, it's a charter school, and I think for those families that go there, it feels like something that they own, and something that reflects that people, that their personal investment in the school. It doesn't feel like anything that's being brought to them or forced upon them, but that it is something that they're delivering to themselves. They have that much ownership in it.
Kimmy?
This is Tim. I was hoping to just jump in on charters just one more second.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, and Chuck, appreciate the comments. I think, and any Alaska, I think from the teachers in this state believe that the charter school law we have in Alaska is a good law and it works. I'm just, there is nervousness about the charter school laws in other states. And so, and that's what I was bringing up, was just some of that nervousness, because for instance, in Michigan, 86% of the charter schools are run in a for-profit manner. That's concerning. But we did a lot of things, or previous leaders to us did a lot of things right when they created that charter law back in 2000, and we give them credit. I just wanted to clarify on charters. I think we actually have something we can build on. I think you're right. I think the charter schools that we have 30 in the state of Alaska. I've been to almost all of them. They are fabulous schools. They have a parent board that's involved in making a lot of decisions about exactly what to do with that board or that school, and making a lot of choices. And that's kind of the same thing we're looking for when we say we want to build a stronger community connection to schools, which I think is what we're saying with this particular one. And as we go into the, what does compacting look like, I still would love to hear more about how, are we talking about, well, maybe we are talking about charter schools and some of those aspects where there's a community board. But, we do have to think about the other side of that, which is sometimes when you do that, you put up the hand and you say no to certain people that can come to your school. That has its own little wrinkle of problems, and we haven't really hit that one too hard in the state. But I would, having a public school system that's open to every kid and open its arms when a kid walks in November and says, I want to enroll, is an important aspect of a public school system. We need to remember that's one of the pieces that we're shooting at. So thank you.
Thank you. Timmy, this is Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
Thank you. And thank you, Tim, for your comments, and Valerie and Chuck. As I listen, I think of, I keep going back to the Ontario model, because they have tribal schools that are controlled by tribes. They have tribal schools that are not, that are controlled in a typical way, similar to the way we control schools. They have a diversified system that meets the needs of local people. As I listened to Valerie, I wrote down some of what she said, and one of her statements was kind of fit into a theme or perhaps a recommendation to move forward with a planning process for compacting. A planning process would bring all of the issues and concerns that people have mentioned and spoken to, and perhaps some that have not yet been addressed, to the surface, so that we could have an exploration of them. There may be opportunities that we're not realizing through compacting that would be uncovered or discovered in this process. So I think moving forward, a recommendation to move forward with the planning process is that. It's a recommendation to the state board. And it simply is the kickoff point towards further exploration, further understanding, and then some decision making down the road that meets with the interest of parties that would be part of the compact. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
This is Tim again. I want to thank Jerry for that comment. He is right on and a great guide on this. That Ontario model, I'm pretty familiar with it. I've read a lot of things about it. I've met with some teachers from Ontario. I wonder if our whole group is. And so I'll just lay out an idea that perhaps we could get some more information about how that Ontario model works, because that might be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for doing that, Tim. So I guess I'm just sort of in a conundrum right now. We seem to have, and I think we need to send a survey out, much like the other groups did, like on SurveyMonkey, with some of our ideas, and then people can rank them as far as recommendations to the state board go. So obviously one would be compacting, and I think it was Representative Kopp that talked about the transformation of values from adults to students, and then compacting kind of comes back into our last category as well. Are there other things that we need to consider as far as making a recommendation? And again, what is it we want, not how we're going to do it?
And this is John, and again, I really appreciate and enjoyed the questions and discussion related to the compacting. I don't know if this fits into that or this could be something separate, but I know the comments that were made earlier related to the balancing resonated with me. And I was thinking balancing that could fall into a number of these areas. But, so maybe to try to incorporate that concept, and we're talking about balancing as it relates to, you know, competing values for the various cultures, or, you know, how we do that, or whether it's balance as it relates to representation, or balance as it relates to making sure we have the right partnerships involved with educational decisions. But again, rather than having a top-down education approach, which has been traditional for Alaska over many years, is to really strengthen these partnerships, you know, do balancing. I've really appreciated, at least at the state board level, the past few years that I've been on the board, the more involvement from various stakeholders. And again, I think that is part of that balancing. You know, if we could continue to transform that, I think it's going to make our state education system, you know, just excel.
All right, thank you.
Timmy, this is Liz.
Yes.
I wanted to also, I feel like there's a recommendation, I mean, there's a self-governance recommendation. I know you said another one, but I wasn't quite certain if I understood what that one was. But the other one I wanted to circle back on around the values one was centering values in the place.
Okay.
That was something that I heard a couple, I think I heard Tiffany say that. I think I heard Geraldyn also talking about values that are actively lived and valued within a school system. And also that our value isn't just on larger school systems, but it's on our rural Alaska areas as well.
Great, thank you.
I mean, this is Tiffany.
Go ahead, Tiff.
So I know we talked about the compacting and everything, and we didn't really flesh out what transformative partnerships would, like, what they might look like, but I don't want to lose that. I mean,
okay,
it's larger than compacting. That could be, I think we were talking about partnerships with all sorts of community entities, so I don't want to lose the partnering as we move forward.
Duly noted. Thank you for that reminder.
and this is John, I'll just mention along that line, I know, again, over the last couple of years, I've really appreciated it. When I first started, when we had working group meetings at the state board level, it was just the state board. In the last 2 years, you know, we've had a number of stakeholders or partners be involved in those discussions at that level. But again, to the extent we can continue to get the community involved in education at all levels with the stakeholders, you know, I've seen a transformation in the last 2 years, at least in our operations, and, you know, it's brought us to where we are today with this Alaska Education Challenge. But, you know, again, if we could continue those, and I don't know how to define the what with the partnerships, but just strengthen those relationships, I guess I can't stress that enough.
And, Tim, if I might ask you, this is Kathy, who are those partnerships with that you strengthened?
I don't think that was Tim. Yeah, that was John.
Oh, John. Okay, I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, well, we've had Dr. Parity join us. We've had some folks from the Native organizations that have come and sat at the table with us. We've had NEA. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. But really, anybody who's really expressed a passion and interest, you know, I'm not aware of anybody that was ever said, you know, told no that they couldn't be part of those at least sitting at the table as part of some of those working group meetings. But like I said, their input has been invaluable, and it's really been representative of a lot of different organizations across the state.
This is Tim. I'm not jumping on over somebody else. I just wanted to build on that. I like the phrasing on the partnerships, and I have witnessed what John's talking about at the state level by seeing the different larger stakeholder groups get involved and really all back this work that we're doing here together. I want to raise something I brought up a little earlier with the idea that there's smaller entities, individual tribes and other groups, university systems and other nonprofits in the state that are doing good work out there that haven't, they may not have the resources to get involved as well at the statewide level, but they are doing some good work out there. And I think we need to do a little bit more outreach to them. And so as we define partnerships, I'd hope we would go to building those partnerships to other groups in our state who are doing positive work to connect the schools to their communities. And it's kind of broad, but I think it's an important aspect. And it could happen through compacting to a certain degree, but it's also a little bit, it needs some work just on its own just to get those partnerships talking to each other so that the different communities can connect and know what's going on. Thanks.
So I feel, this is Timmy, and I feel like we either need a break or we might be ready to wrap up. And I don't want anyone to not feel that their voice has been heard or not been heard. And so I do want to back up and just make sure that, you know, give people an opportunity to have some more comments if they'd like them.
Yeah, and Timmy, this is John. I have a clarification question for you, or Jerry. When does this group have to have its, you know, final or top three? Because again, I think we'll have more discussions. I guess, hey, first question, when's the deadline for us? And B, will we have an opportunity to have another discussion before that deadline?
This is Jerry. Thank you for the question, John. The deadline, the final deadline for submitting your recommendations to the state board will be October 4th. Ideally, you would have them in almost final form or final form that day. We will be having another in-person meeting on the 4th of October for all committees, the same as we did on April 20th. And that will be an opportunity for you to finalize your recommendations if they're not finalized by that time and share them with folks on serving on other committees prior to presenting them to the state board.
And Jerry, we do have one more phone committee meeting as well.
Yes, that is correct.
Can you share the date on that, or Aaron, do you know that off the top of your head?
I can look it up.
Someone will look it up. I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me.
And if somebody has the time for the October 1st arts meeting, could you share that as well? It might be in one of the emails. I don't have it on my calendar.
I need it, Stephanie.
This is Jerry. I have meetings, your next meeting on August 30th.
So everyone, please mark your calendars August 30th, and I believe that one's 9 to noon, right? Right, Jerry?
That is correct. And then you have another one on September 19th. Oh, that's your fifth meeting.
And the time on that is what?
That's your distance meeting. That's a 1 to 4 p.m. meeting. So ideally, you would have your work completed by September 19th, and you would be prepared to submit it on October 4th.
So again, August 30 was 9 to noon, right?
Correct.
Okay, yes.
And then the September, what was the September date and time?
19th.
19th.
From
1
to
4
p.m.
Okay. Timmy, this is Liz.
Sure.
You were asking if we should take a break or if we were done
yes.
For now.
Yeah.
My feeling is if it's possible for us to take a break and maybe you can kind of condense some of that.
Sure. Why don't we take, yeah, that would be a good idea. It's 3:20 right now. Why don't we come back at 3:30 and Jerry, you and I can talk through this and Aaron maybe and try to condense all this and come back at that point at 3:30.
And Timmy, this is John Hartman. Quick question. How long do you think we're going to go? Because right now,
well, it's done at 4, but if you want to get off, John, you can just check the notes that we'll send out in the next few days.
You know, I'll stay out as long as I can, but here it's already the next day. It's
right, I know that. Okay. Well, if you're not back, we'll know why.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so everyone can go take a break. Jerry, Aaron, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So Jerry, Aaron, and anybody else that wants to listen, but I sort of have been taking notes, and I don't know what else people have been doing, but I have obviously the idea about exploring educational compacting.
Mm-hmm.
I have the strength and community involvement at all levels and make transformable partnerships with all sorts of community entities, so that's kind of one big one. I have centering the values around the place, quotes. And then,
before you move on to me, this is John. The second one there, you may say, you know, explore. I liked how Jerry did the first one, but explore a process for pulling it all together.
Okay. And I think that's what these are all be explore process for. Yeah, that's really
okay.
Good.
Thank you.
The balancing and I'm not sure the wording on that one, Jerry. What are you thinking on that one?
I'm not sure either just yet.
Okay.
Oh, the bouncing car going away from the top down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was the top down, yeah.
Yes.
It was from the bottom up, not top down.
Yes, this is Erin. Sarah and
yeah.
I are just kind of comparing our note sheet.
Right.
Has been typing really everything, and I've just been taking handwritten notes.
And I've been doing handwritten, too, so thank you, both of you.
Yeah, I see the kind of three themes that are emerging, the allowing to move forward with the process, a planning process for compacting that you talked about, the second bucket theme being the community partnerships, strengthening relationships, expanding outreach. I want to maybe play with the wording again and maybe get the committee thinking about how they'd want to state that one. And then the third one centering on the allowing and encouraging the regional areas or, you know, whatever level to embed values in education, centering values in the place. There was a couple statements there that I highlighted. So I kind of saw three potentially transformative areas.
And I think that's kind of what I had, too. I just, the balancing one, where did you see that one, Aaron or Sarah or Jerry?
we had notes about redistributing power and need to balance, and I'm wondering, I mean, we could ask a committee member to maybe speak back to that, but I saw that more in relationship, I think, to the possibly the planning process for compacting,
I think it maybe came up in a discussion about having advisory boards, not yeah. necessarily seats on a board to make decisions and have a level of authority. So I think that could be maybe potentially resolved in a compacting process, and or maybe some discussion in partnerships possibly. So.
Yeah, and this is John, and you know, in my notes here too, you know, I think the balancing, and again, I wanted to mention that it could fall into compacting, but I also think it could fall into the partnerships. I mean, mm-hmm. again, you know, going back to the point that I made, and I think some other folks had made, is that sometimes they feel that there's just not a balance as it relates to representation to have the various stakeholders involved.
Mm-hmm. I think it also related, there was a comment about, and maybe, John, you had made it yourself, about a balance, even in the example of state board seats. You know, they're by district, maybe change it to be a different, diverse makeup of stakeholder groups.
That was a comment that was made to me by, yeah, you're correct, by an external yes. person. And
isn't that getting to the how, though, versus the what?
It is, yeah. It's just,
yeah.
just an example. I know that's just
right.
part of the thought process.
Yeah, and their thoughts were, you know, for better or worse, they see the state board, and we get a lot. I think we have fairly diverse opinions, but they see us as, you know, fairly probably more similar, and they'd like more diversification. Again, my comment was, well, you know, the governor appoints people, and you should request the diversification. Although I think we're a very good and diverse board, but their thoughts were, you know, we'd like to have. Just a little bit more balance and representation, because you know a lot of us are from the road system. I mean, the only one that's not from the road system is Kenny. He's from Kotzebue.
So, Timmy, this is Erin. My thought is maybe when folks come back from break, since we'll have about a half hour on the clock, is to maybe repeat these sort of three areas that we've discussed and make sure that there's consensus that we're headed
by right.
direction, and then possibly put out some topics for reading, allow folks to read the ICC report if they haven't already, and maybe request a short presentation from them for the next meeting.
And I think the other one Liz said too is I think that we could share either, I think First Alaskans ASB could share what we've harvested in our work with 37 schools in 11 districts around this as well. So I think the two things would maybe be beneficial.
Right, and along with that, I think Sarah and I could pull together a couple other readings from the department, particularly the Alaska Cultural Standards. I was flipping through them when the committee was talking about their value statements, and I
yep.
think that might spur some further discussion in flushing out that potential recommendation. And then maybe we could do some wordsmithing and get some possible. Sort of goal statements for these three for the committee to react to either in the interim or at the next meeting, you know, if there's a particular one they want to focus on. I was thinking if we gave it to them in the interim, maybe in this next meeting we could really have them flesh those out a little bit more possibly. So
I would agree. I think that that's I think that's wonderful. Jerry, what are your thoughts?
I like it.
So, Erin, can you again then, because I may turn it over to you to read the three that you've come up with, just because I think you've encapsulated it really well. Can you read those back out?
Was that to me? Sorry.
Yes.
Yes, I will do my best. Absolutely. How many minutes are left on our break?
3:30.
Okay, I got a couple minutes. Okay, I may run and use the restroom, and I'll be back.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jerry, for your help.
Oh, hey, I'm happy to do it, and thank you for your facilitation. You're pulling out some good information, Timmy, and I know when groups get to this point in the thinking processes, it does become more difficult. Once we get all the ideas on the table, how do we move forward with them? And this group is doing fine, and you're doing a great job with facilitation, so thank you.
No problem. I hope I'm doing it justice.
Oh, you are. They'll probably tell you if you're not.
That's true. Yep, we'll.
Yeah, we have 3 minutes still, so that's good. Erin, let me know when you're back, or Sarah, let me know when Erin's back.
I'm here, sorry.
Oh, good. You got back.
Here also.
Great. All right, well, it is 3:30. So what we talked about during the break, if you weren't on the phone with us, was we sort of tried to condense down and come up with three potential areas, and Erin is going to read those out to us, and then we can talk next steps. So, and see if we kind of agree with what we've captured. So, Erin, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Sure. Thanks so much, Timmy. I just first wanted to say how amazing this discussion has been, and I have thoroughly enjoyed being a silent listener and note taker. I really feel like the second to third hour the group hit their stride. It's been a pleasure to listen to the conversation. So what I took out of it is three theme areas that could with some work I think become some transformative recommendations. The first around the compacting specifically, I like the statement to move forward with a planning process for compacting. I think that could be expanded upon a bit, but in sort of in essence, that was one theme that came out of the discussion. The second theme to allow and encourage regional areas to embed values in education, centering values in the place. So I think that second theme focus would be on values. And then the third one, focusing on the partnerships process, so community partnerships, strengthening existing relationships, expanding outreach. Those were just some of the word choices that jumped out at me. So those were the three that we felt that we heard that best captured the discussion today. And I'd just be curious for feedback if we've accurately captured the work, and then from moving forward, I think as a committee or groups, we could kind of wordsmith those to become the statements that we're looking for. So I'll turn it back over.
So I think there's two questions. One is, did we capture those? And two, is there something missing, or is there anything still missing that we haven't captured? So let's start with the first one in well, I guess maybe let's start with the second one, actually. Are there things missing that we did not capture in those three categories? Were we remiss in missing something?
Timmy, this is Tim Parker. The third one is the one I'm having trouble getting my head around. Is this the one about centering values in the place? Is that one?
I didn't write them down in the right order. So will you read the third one again, Erin?
The third one I read was the focus on partnerships in the community, strengthening relationships and expanding outreach. The second one I believe you're referring to was, and I think you had led to this earlier, Tim, so maybe I just need to have you restate your thought there about allowing and encouraging regional areas to embed values in education. And one other statement that was said was centering values in the place. So did you want to expand on your comment about values?
Yeah, actually. I actually have some other ones to sort of add that were inspired from some of our earlier discussion. Chuck had brought up, and I were talking about charter schools a little bit, and you know, one of the things that he brought up was that some of our schools that do super well have that parent involved board, and there's nothing better in a school than to have a parent involved board that's helping it guide and really take control of the school. Now, 20 or 30 years ago, that might have looked like the PTA and sort of a classical model that everyone could see. As the world's changed a little bit, it's harder for PTA to be there in every school. And I love the PTA organization. As teachers, we support them completely. But I think we have to acknowledge overall that the numbers of PTA are down just a little bit. So we're kind of almost saying, hey, we want more PTA. We want more of that kind of thing in our schools. We want that center in place sort of value to emerge. And that's critical. And when it does, we know it. It comes through in the values. It comes through in the in that local ownership. That's just a big piece. And I guess I just wanted to say a little bit more on that. One of the things that PTA does super well is they have a Blue Ribbon School program, and I may have spoken about this in a previous meeting, but it's also one of those things that's sort of it's simple. Its beauty is so simple that you just sort of see it. And the Blue Ribbon School concept is that the school, to become a Blue Ribbon School, I'll just summarize it in the fastest way possible, all the parents and the groups that are in the school get together and they choose, they survey, and then there's this sort of strong sort of element of we want to do X, Y, or Z, or something comes out of that survey, and then they take steps to accomplish that. It's a very basic concept. It's like, hey, this is what we want in our school, and the school is taking steps to accomplish what it wants. So anyway, that's sort of some of the elements of centering values in the place that I was thinking of. And hard to summarize that into one sentence, but maybe we could explore what that looks like in Alaska and how we can acknowledge that some places it's happening and how we can help it happen in places where it's not. Thank you.
Thanks for that clarification, Tim. All right, so maybe just breaking it down like that, is there anything we're missing in that category that anyone else would like to add any comments to? All right.
Timmy?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
This is Liz. I don't have anything to add to that specific category. I'm just going to call it category number two.
Yes, thank you. That's the best way right now.
Okay. So to clarify, category number one had to do with compacting.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you I just want to make sure that we're sending a clear signal that the direction of our recommendation is we're moving into compacting. And as a result of that clear direction, then the other resulting components will happen, the things that we talked about through the discussion, which is around information being circulated and planning processes begun. I just don't want to be unequivocal in our language because we're talking about transformation. And if we need to transform, we cannot keep doing the same things over and over again.
Yes.
We have to actually try different things. And I don't want there to be any confusion when we go out with the other committees and say, here's the transformation that we see as possible in Alaska. So I don't want to have any wishy-washy language when it comes to the recommendations. I want us to be more specific and clear, because I think it's in the process of gathering information, in the process of the planning, to make those things lift off the ground where the magic happens. But I don't want us to bureaucratize the language on the transformation part in the front end, because if we do that, we'll never actually get there in the planning process or in the information seeking, in the learning and the implementation process. But those are all components of compacting in and of themselves. And I don't want it to be like our recommendation is we're going to plan. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, Liz. I do. I hear you loud and clear, and I couldn't agree more, actually. I'm wondering if, because the way I'm thinking about this is this, what we're going to put together today is the beginning of our next two meetings where we will be able to really strengthen the voice behind these recommendations. And so, because I know that it's at the end of a long meeting and I don't expect anyone to come up with the words right now, but can we say that at least this will give us something to reflect on so that next time we get together we can strengthen that voice and that comment or that statement so that we can continue to get to a very, very strong statement on what we want, not just planning to plan. So that we reflect on today's notes and concepts before the end of the month meeting. And maybe even give some written feedback when maybe you could take it and think about it and look at it and say, you know what, yeah, this is an idea, but here's a statement or a way we can strengthen how we're advocating for this.
I like that idea.
Liz, how does that work for you?
Timmy, if you're doing it, I will support it.
Oh, Liz, don't put that pressure on me. But what I think it does is it allows us all, because, again, I know we all start getting tired after 3 hours, but I think that, if we can at least send this out as a, here's a beginning, this is by no means the end. We're going to have two more meetings to talk about it and one more face-to-face before we really present things. So, and if for some reason someone can't attend one of the upcoming meetings, they could put it in writing to us in advance.
Yeah. I think also the idea behind clarity of message is that anybody who's not part of it, they won't be confused by, oh, I thought we were just going to, our recommendation was we're going to think about it some more and plan for it later kind of a thing.
So I agree. We have to be really out there and strong in our comment on that aspect.
Yeah.
Timmy, this is Jerry.
Yeah.
I think Liz's comments are just exactly right on track. Clarity is very, very powerful, and as we recraft this and rethink this and come forward with a powerful statement, and then the rationale can describe what, explain what the details are of that process of how this gets created. So I really value and appreciate your comments, Liz, and thanks for sharing that.
So anyone else are we missing? Did anybody bring up something today that we didn't capture at least the idea and the concept around as a beginning point of discussion in those three categories? I don't want anyone to feel like we ignored them. It's just challenging to not have us all face-to-face. All right, so if no one has that, no one's feeling left out, I think then what we will do is, and Erin, could you just read those three concepts again, and we will send it out to all these people to start thinking about how we can strengthen these statements and make sure that when we put them in recommendation form, they are forceful and they have what we really mean in them, not just wishy-washy, like we'd like us to consider this. You know, we really want this to be transformable.
Sure. And I'll actually throw out a, I was kind of crafting more of a strong statement that Liz was thinking about. So I'll throw that out for the committee to think on. So the first topic was compacting. And I just, on the spot, just to react to, came up with a statement allowing tribes and Native organizations the option of entering into self-governance compacts with the state of Alaska to gain more autonomy in the management and delivery of their education system. So just one topic. The second one was focusing on values, specifically centering values in the place, allowing and encouraging regional areas to embed values in their education system. And the third topic was on partnerships, community partnerships, strengthening relationships, and expanding outreach. Those were the three.
Thank you for wordsmithing already. Appreciate that, Erin. So, at this point, I think hearing those and hearing that, I don't think I heard anyone say that we're missing something they brought up, but again, I don't want to hold anyone to the ground after a 2.5-hour phone meeting. So if there are constituents you want to take these to and share them with, if you're representing a team and you really want to talk through this with your team, I think when we email these out in the next few days, you have almost a month. We don't meet until the 30th again to think about these. And I think, Liz, maybe you were off when we talked about this, but we brought up that it would be great if you or you and Lori Grassgreen might be able to share some of the results, some of the harvests we're finding around those community conversations we're doing, and that report that out to our group here, as well as trying to get a hold of the ICC folks and see if they might also be available to share some information with us for our next meetings.
I think they may have dropped offline.
We might have lost them. So we'll plan on that. Oh, yeah, there you are.
I'm here.
Yay.
I didn't catch the beginning part. I heard you say having Lori talk and having ICC talk.
I was asking if maybe you and or Lori could speak to the work that we're teaming up with you to do around those community conversations. And, yeah, I think this group could benefit from that.
Okay.
And all the harvest we've gotten from that.
Okay, wonderful.
Yay. And then we'll check with ICC to see if they could also present. And if other people have examples or have seen some powerful work that might be worth this group reviewing, please just let us know. All right. Jerry, anything else you want to add to this group for the good of the order?
I just would like to thank everyone for their hard work this afternoon and for participating. I think that we're getting down to very exciting parts, and I'm very excited about what you come up with for your final recommendations and rationale. Thank you all.
All right. Well, I do appreciate everyone's time and energy. I know it can be exhausting and a little frustrating on the phone, but I thank you all, and I will try to do a phone call next time in advance, like this time, just to remind folks so that we can just bring our best to the table. But between now and then, we'll make sure that we send some things out that might be helpful to review and look at and help us as we move forward, okay?
And thank you, Timmy, for your leadership and facilitation.
Thank you all.
Hey, Timmy, this is Erin.
Yeah, Erin.
I just wanted to just put a last plug in. Someone had asked about details for the October 4th meeting.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to let folks know that I will soon, here in the next week or two, be sending out much more detailed information. But for now, if you could mark the entire day of October 4th, we plan on holding an all-day in-person conference meeting at the Denina Center, just like we did in April. We want to bring all committees back together to share out and celebrate the work of these five committees. And so I will be sending out more detailed information about conference agenda, rooms, everything we did last time, just hopefully this time with more advanced notice. So if you
thank you, Erin.
October 4th on your calendars, we'll get more information to you soon.
Perfect.
All right, everyone. Thank you. And anything I can do better next time, please let me know. So thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
No, bye. Your host is exiting the conference.